biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back. Another Transforming Conversation week. Thank you, Pastor Rock, as always, for your time.
You're welcome.
And we have implemented something new since your sabbatical, since your return, and that is the reading of the Apostles' Creed, which I find it very refreshing. I really enjoy that part of our service. Just curious as to where that came from, not the Apostles' Creed, but the thought of implementing that into our services and that being a part of what we're doing now on the weekends.
Well, I got a hold of some bad pizza, and it kept me up all night. And in the midst of being up all night, I had these visions. No, I don't know the specific moment when the thought of having the Apostles' Creed recited occurred to me, but the reasoning behind my thinking was severalfold. One, we are living in an age where I'm seeing a dilution of good, in-depth biblical teaching and exposition. A lot of what passes for preaching and teaching is like a swamp. It's 25 miles wide, but only 2 inches deep. There's a lot of preaching and teaching unfolding today and being offered to people today that's more therapeutic than biblical. And by that I mean the focus is on feeling good about yourself, getting along well with other people, overcoming your sorrows. And so a lot of the preaching and teaching is some stories of people going through rough times who found inspiration and were able to hang on and plunge through and succeed, with some scripture verses from Proverbs and elsewhere thrown in. But the whole emphasis is on, you know, God thinks you're neat and wants you to be happy about yourself and treat other people well. And that's about as far as it goes.
Right.
There's an absence of understanding of the fallenness of man, the carnal nature of man, the nature and the pervasive power of sin, the necessity of the incarnation, what was going on the cross. What was the resurrection really all about? What does it mean to be new creation, to be regenerated, the work of the Holy Spirit? We're just seeing a lot of feel-good stories, shallow, affirming, you're wonderful and God's got great things for you kind of teaching. And God does have great things in store for us, but they're on the back side of biblical understanding and application.
That's right.
So part of it, I think, is a response to that cultural milieu here in the United States of therapeutic approach to the gospel and wanting to reaffirm the essential core doctrines and tenets of Scripture, which the Apostles' Creed does.
Right.
So part of it was to continually remind our people that to be a follower of Jesus involves believing certain things.
That's
you know, people say, oh, it's not a system of beliefs, it's a relationship. And we've talked about that in a previous Transforming Conversation. It is both.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian faith is both a relationship with the God who exists and belief in the truths that that God has revealed. You don't separate those two things.
Right.
So I wanted to sort of underscore the core tenets of the Christian faith because a lot of people aren't familiar with them.
Right.
Secondly, in our Western Christian culture, there's this infatuation with being relevant that then leads to an infatuation with being creative, and anything old is looked at with disdain, and everybody's striving to be new and fresh and creative and up to date and relevant. And there are few things more tiring than an unending quest to be fresh and relevant.
Right.
They can lead you to act stupidly at times and to lose the whole point of the exercise. And I wanted to remind our people that the church didn't start 5 minutes ago in the United States.
That's right.
That the church has been around for thousands of years. And and following Jesus isn't about finding what's new and hot and trending.
That's right.
It is establishing your life on a foundation that was laid before time began. It's merging into a river that was flowing long before you merged into it. It's becoming a part of something that's ancient.
Right.
And because it's ancient, it's eternally relevant and will still be relevant when all of our new things are long, long forgotten.
That's right.
So I saw it as an opportunity to keep reminding our people this started long before we got here.
Right.
And when we gather together, it's not about being creative and new and fresh.
Right.
It's about continuing the ancient that is always relevant.
That's right.
The ancient that makes everything else irrelevant. And then the third piece was to recapture just a bit of what some would call the liturgical feel. Now, you know, generally when we think of the word liturgy, we think of a worship service where everything is very carefully scripted and follows the script every week. Okay, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this. And the preaching is from a lectionary, and people read prayers from the Book of Common Prayer and so on. The reality is every church has a liturgy.
Right.
I remember talking to a young woman one time, and she was trying to convince me her church was spirit-filled and ours wasn't because we had a bulletin, believe it or not, because she saw the bulletin as being contrary following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you've sketched everything out, and you do it man's way, and the Holy Spirit couldn't break in if he wanted to, which was nuts. But
right.
I said to her, well, what happens in your services?
Right.
And she gave me the flow of what they do. And I said, is that generally the way it unfolds? Yeah. I said, you have a liturgy. You just don't write it down.
Right.
No liturgy is liturgy.
Right.
So really, every time believers assemble together, they have generally have some kind of plan of, and then they invite the Holy Spirit to work within that, and if the Holy Spirit wants to override and you're discerning, you let him. And we've had examples of that here at ACAC,
right.
But it's not every week.
Right.
You know, in the ancient church, the apostles preached and taught, and they preached and taught the same thing, and it wasn't, well, we're just going to show up with no plan and see what the Holy Spirit does.
Right.
Yeah, that generally leads to people sitting in a room waiting and wasting their time God calls us to plan and prepare and gives us our task.
That's what I was going to say. It's just isn't it wasting our people's time.
And well,
if we don't prepare and we don't.
Yeah, that's presumption. That's right. Not spirit-led. That's just lazy presumption.
Right.
So, but again, in the Western church, much of it, sometimes things get, I guess what I was saying, sometimes things get a little too casual.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Some church plants now, in an effort to show people this isn't stodgy and irrelevant,
right.
they're leaning over to be just very casual and unorganized so that people feel this is genuine human community, which is a pretty shallow definition of human community.
Right.
But it's letting the pendulum swing too far.
Right.
And I felt reading the ancient creed of affirming what we believe in brings back an element of, it's not all contemporary. It's not all 5 minutes ago. And it's not all casual and, hey, we're just going to show up and see what God does.
Right.
So those were the things that I just felt the Spirit prompting to have the Apostles' Creed read, and then, and this went with it, follow up with the intentional confessing of sin, because in many contemporary Christian circles in the United States, the word sin is being airbrushed out of preaching and teaching.
That's right.
Again, much of the preaching and teaching is now therapeutic. You don't have a sin issue. You just don't think highly enough of yourself, or
right.
You're not aware enough of how much God loves you. And no, you got a sin issue, dude.
That's right.
You're in rebellion against God.
That's the whole.
That's why you feel
game.
Bad about yourself, why you feel estranged from God, because you've got a sin issue.
Right.
We're so afraid to say that.
Right.
Because it might offend people. Well, there is an offense in the gospel, and if you take out the offense, you don't have the gospel
What's
anymore.
The point? Right.
So it was sort of a dual effort to affirm the ancient, and part of the ancient is the regular confession of our sin and our brokenness.
That's right.
And casting ourselves on the mercy and the grace of God, rather than acting like it was a great day in heaven when God got a hold of me because I have so much to offer.
Right.
You know? Which if you listen to some teaching, you'd swear, like, how did God get along without me all
right.
this time? So both of those things, I think, set the tone for community worship by reminding our people we believe certain things, we're part of something that started a long time ago. Our calling isn't to be unique and fresh and creative. And the ancient truths of man's sin, God's grace, the cross, the resurrection, those are the hope for our lives and for our future. And I just felt, let's remind ourselves of that before we even get started.
Right. You know, and one of the refreshing things, too, is that ACAC is a biblical teaching church. We're not caught up on what a lot of these churches are today. Let's make it look like a theater, and let's have all the special lighting effects, and let's have the big screens and the incredible Steven Spielberg looking graphics, and because we want to wow people and we want to keep them in the church. You know,
I think some churches, because they know in a sense they're competing with Hollywood for the attention of their people.
Right.
They unknowingly adopt and adapt some of Hollywood technique. And I'm not saying That's entirely wrong. Look, when the printing press was invented, the first thing Gutenberg printed was the Bible.
Right.
So using technology, video, and so on, that's like distributing printed Bibles for the first time. We should take advantage of that stuff. But sometimes it gets silly, and you find yourself asking, is the technology serving the kingdom, or is the kingdom now serving the technology?
That's exactly right. Exactly.
And my hope of an abundant life does not hinge upon my church having the latest video equipment.
Right.
It hinges on me, again, understanding sin and salvation, moving in the Spirit, bearing my cross, denying self.
Amen.
That's where fullness and abundance are found. And there's a difference between being cute and being holy.
That's right. That's right.
And I want our people to move to holiness. And we're not going to lead them to holiness by modeling cuteness.
That's right. And modeling, you know, what Hollywood deems as important. You know, the day we lose focus of why Christ came and our sin problem. You know,
well, look, at ACAC, I want us to have quality, but not state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line everything. Because the monies you invest in state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line stuff are monies that are not then available for missions.
Right. Right.
And for benevolences.
Right.
And a lot of the American churches that have state-of-the-art everything are only giving maybe 2% of their offerings. That's the national average.
Yeah,
to crazy. Missions. Mm. We're still at 15-16%. And, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ, I'd rather have Jesus say of ACAC, your investments led to 462,000 salvations around the world over the time of your existence, rather than, man, you guys had great video.
Right.
I mean, Amen. Come on.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
So, you know, I'm getting to be an old fuddy-duddy. No, I do think the longer you're around, if you're paying attention, which the two don't automatically go together.
Right.
You know, so for some people, 30 years of experience is the same 5 years of mistakes repeated 6 times.
Right.
But if you're paying attention, you should be getting more discerning.
Yeah. And that's where the church
needs
to be.
And I'm coming to the place where I'm not a fuddy-duddy who I don't want to do things the way they did them in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I have no interest in that. But not all that glitters is gold. And
that's
not
right.
All that is called progress is progress. And truth and faithfulness isn't determined by counting the butts in the seats.
Amen.
Just because a strategy draws thousands of people doesn't necessarily mean it's a God-honoring strategy or that it's serving those people well.
That's right. That's right. Bumping up against the time again.
Yeah, okay.
So
I'll shut up.
No, but I wanted to just, you know, ask you about that because it is something that we didn't really get to expand on.
Right. I didn't read a book. It was just a heart conviction as I sat with the Lord for the reasons I shared
I think
with
it's
you.
It's a good thing.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.